Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 225, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Today, we'll be talking about things happening outside of America a little bit, but always from ignorant-ass American point of view, in my case. It is Friday, February 25th, 2022. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Urine in my glass. Just urine in my glass. That is a you are in my heart. I don't think that's a you'll be in my heart is the original name. That's courtesy of Radio Giorgio. I just wanted to, you know, it's good to be reminded on this day of war and hell around the world that we still live in a country where people drink their own pee to combat a disease that is not combated by drinking your own pee. Anyways, I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, it's Miles Gray. Just completely gobsmacked with all the news. So an AKA is just a guy living in hell with everybody else and looking at the countless horrors that abound. Mm. Or Hideo Nomo, just to keep it light. So, yeah. Mm. Oh, sorry. This day of war, I hate to make a joke, but it is National Clam Chowder Day.
National Chocolate. Wait, that's what I was referring to up top. What are you, the suffering around the world? I was referring to National Clam Chowder Day, eh? No specific. Yeah. It's not New England or Manhattan. On this day, the clams chowder unite with one another and celebrate. No.
Very non-specific, but... You know, I think that's the clam chowder lobby's attempt at bringing unity.
Well, if we can't take a goddamn lesson from that, you know, I don't know what. All right. Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined by a hilarious and talented podcaster, comedian, writer. He's the founder of the nationally renowned stand-up institution, Chatterbox Comedy Night, one of the hosts of the monthly comedy show Worship. You can read the Bible with him on his podcast and or YouTube show, Read the Bible With Me. Please welcome Steve Hernandez!
Steve! You know, you kids don't remember this. I'm a little older than you guys. But, you know, now there's clam chowder everywhere. It's accessible pretty much anywhere you go. But I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. When I was growing up, you had to be down at Newport Beach. You had to be at the BJ's by the beach. When there was one, you had to be over at the Ruby's Pier, or you had to be by the Pirates of Caribbean to get a clam chowder bread bowl. But, yeah, you know, clam chowder has come so far. And so have we, fellas. I'm really happy to be here. It's been so long. And, you know, what a day to bring on the sex Bible guy, right? It's the beginning of World War III.
That's right.
Let's bring the polyamorous Bible guy on. And I think he's going to be able to walk us through all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And for people who think, oh, this was just a coincidence. No, we planned. We said, depending on what happens.
We actually coordinated with Putin's people. And we were like, so what's this thing going down for real? All right. We got to get
big Hearn. Bring in the Hearn. Bring in the Hearn-minator.
And what do we need more at a time of war than sex and the Bible? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Just to escape it together.
I do feel like people fuck a lot during war, right? That's not.
No,
it's not just the movies.
You're laying it on the line. I'm telling you, I've been, you know, when at the start of the pandemic, the war, these intense times, you're really pressing in. I know you two have been in long-term relationships. I'm telling you, when me and my wife shut the door, we pretended to be strangers and we were getting grimy in there, fellas.
Today?
Yeah, yesterday, the day before. Okay. I was just, forget that I know your dad well. Okay, forget that time that we held each other through your aunt's like battle with cancer. Forget all that.
Yeah.
Let's pretend we're strangers. Let's get grimy. And I feel like that's the next step to do it with all of this horror that we're facing in the world today.
Right. Yeah. Ugh. I mean, there it is.
Hellum.
All right, Steve, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about today. We're obviously going to be talking about Russia invading Ukraine and the kind of all-out war that appears to be happening over there. We're going to come in with a little good news about gerrymandered maps taking L's back here in the U.S. And then we'll talk about some really good news. Law and order is back to solve.
Wait, was it ever gone?
Yeah, bro. The original Law and Order got canceled in 2010.
Wait, but aren't there like there are multiple Law and Orders though still out there, right?
Yeah, okay. For sure. I think so. Right, sure, like SVU, all that.
It's
business.
SVU. There's the new one where with like Italian mob. I think it's called the Crime Unit or something like that. With mobsters, but this is the original.
Yo, right? They're still fighting Italian mobsters,
dude, and they brought it back. It's a hell reboot, yeah. And they brought that one guy back. I've never seen one episode of the show. But yeah. I am aware of this. My wife is obsessed. So they brought, I think his name's Stadler back or whatever. And it's just straight Italian mob. And it, I have seen two episodes of that one. And it's actually pretty funny. So
it's Stadler from Stadler and Waldorf, right? he's fighting crime. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk about that. I had no idea, by the way, that Law and Order had been canceled in 2010. It does seem like it never left. But they've brought back the original, the ripped from the headlines original. And the first headline they ripped was an interesting one. So we'll talk. They kind of made up their own, but it's about the murder of Bill Cosby. So, yeah, a little fanfic in there. Anyways, all of that, plenty more, probably mostly that, actually. But before we get to all of it, Steve, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
I searched Jeff Daniels because I took my dad to get a colonoscopy yesterday. Mm-hmm. And my dad is a recent convert liberal since Trump came into office. My dad hates no one more than Donald Trump since he called Mexicans rapists. And my dad is obsessed still to this day with Donald Trump. But he's a pretty new liberal guy. So to him, it's like Joe Biden is still like a good guy and Donald Trump is still the bad guy.
Right.
And so
still
my dad's
absolutes.
Fine. Yeah. So, my dad's still mad at Trump, even though he's lost and everything. And so my dad was like, you know what? I saw this guy on the stage give a really interesting speech. And somebody said, why is America great? And this first person said, this thing. And then the second person, and then this third guy was like, we're not. And my dad's just telling me about this clip. And then he's like, he said, I'll find it for you. He's like, I'll find it for you. I'll send it to you. And he sent it to me. And it was simply a clip from the newsroom.
The newsroom. Yeah. Do you know this is Jeff Daniels?
Yeah. So I had to Google Jeff Daniels because I was like, what the? I had to I had to remember the name of the show.
Speaking of colonoscopy, you should have sent back the clip of him from Dumb and Dumber.
Dumber.
Yo, I have another clip of this guy.
That's what I honestly, Jack, that's where you thought it was going with this. When you said colonoscopy, I was like, were you sending him like the fucking. The X-Lax violent shitting scene gif, but
no, it was just I'm like yelling at my dad about stuff, and he's going like deaf. He was in printing for years, and so he's hard of hearing, and with the masks, it's near impossible. So I'm like yelling at him in public, and people think I'm like abusing my poor dad. But I'd rather have him on this side than the other side. I know a lot of people have parents where they're staunch Republicans still. So I'm glad this thing. But I mean, this poor guy. Yeah, he's not. Fellas, if you're a man out there, make sure that you get a lot of friends, that you maintain your male friendships, because you're going to get older and you're not going to have any friends. The next thing you know, your kid's yelling at you at the VA and everyone's wearing masks.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. The maintaining your friendships thing, that's for real. I feel like that is like a thing, like where some of my older male relatives, like in my life, I'm like, how come auntie has all these friends over, but there's nobody here?
Well, that's what I mean. You know, you think it's cool, like to be a wife guy. You see these guys are just like wife guys. And yes, it is great to treat your wife with love and respect. But if you don't have these male friendships, then like my dad, I worry about the poor guy. My dad goes, I think he goes days sometimes without talking to anyone. And I'm just like, God damn. Like, what? I told him the other day, I was like, you got to get some hobbies, man. You're going to be alive for at least 10 or 15 more years. And you can't go out like this, man. You poor guy. And he's like, I know. Maybe I'll get a job. And I was like, yeah, whatever.
Dad.
He was a workaholic his whole life. And then even now he said, I remember even a couple of years ago, why do I need friends? I have you guys, his kids. And I'm like, yikes, give me a break. I don't want the responsibility for you all the time. I love you. I can call you once a week and hang out with you every other week. But yeah, this poor fucking guy. But, there's hope. He's a charming guy. If you guys were to meet him, you guys would love my
dad. It sounds like he needs a podcast.
My dad is so funny. And if he had the ability to like be himself on the thing, but he just clams up. But he is a hilarious guy. He considers himself like a ladies' man still. And he is a good looking Mexican guy for like being 67. He like could probably pull like, someone 20 years younger if that's a pulling thing. But right. He is also like just weird in the head too. He's very, that stuff is very important to him. I swear to you, every other year he'll say, I would never sleep with one of my son's ex-wives or girlfriends. And we're just like watching a TV show. And I'm like, that's good. I didn't think that was, I didn't know that
that's
was on.
Not the, even in the plot.
Didn't know it was on the table. Nobody's talking about this. And he's just, I want you to know that I would never do that to one of my sons. And I'm like, thank you for that, Dad.
Yeah, wait, hold on. You got opportunities for that? Like, I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying you don't got to worry about me, even if they're slipping. Okay,
if you are, which you should,
I'm your father.
You don't need to be.
This is a real thing he does too. I wish I was joking about it.
Just out of nowhere, you're watching like Abbott Elementary, and he's like, "Yeah, I would never sleep with my kids' ex-wives or girlfriends." You're like, "I'm sorry, what?"
He'll tell like some story from a movie. Like I saw it on this movie, and I think that's a dastardly thing to do. And I was like, "Okay."
Was your dad super religious?
No, he only brings up God when it's convenient, whenever my polyamory comes up. But besides that, he's fine. I mean, he loves God like a Mexican, like just when it comes up on these big things. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, fellas, if you need a friend, I mean, it sounds like Steve's dad, wild ride, charming motherfucker. Just keep your wives or significant others close.
Yeah, if you're not his sons, I would be concerned, okay? Because only our girls are off limits. The rest of you guys, forget about it.
Yeah. Now I want a thing where it's like, this is my stoner brain, I'm like, I'd watch a show where your dad is in someone's ear on a Tinder date and just navigating.
You do not want to hear this guy's opinions on
I know. I'm just saying. I just, it's my favorite kind of content is someone with an earwig in getting fed lines. And with an older ladies, man, I can only imagine some of those takes.
We do talk about sex sometimes. And, he's so old school. He still thinks like good sex is the longer you have it. So it's like, oh no, Dad. He's like, yeah, one time going about an hour and a half. I was like, that woman had a UTI, Dad. Yeah.
Well, they're, you know, speaking of people, aging people who need things to do, some have suggested Putin is, he's facing his eventual demise and choosing to invade countries to make himself feel alive again.
Yeah.
I think mainly that's been suggested by us on this podcast, but just a theory we're throwing out there. Yeah. What is what's something you think is overrated, Steve?
I think Disneyland is overrated. Hmm. I know. I don't know.
Were you just there?
I was just there.
I was gonna say, I'm like, were you just there, fam?
And it continues to be overrated. Okay,
right, sure.
I've always hated that place. If anybody grew up poor going to Disneyland, it's like one of the worst. It's great that we got in, sure. But yeah. I just have so many going back there. I have so many like bad memories and like real like deep down like hurts and stuff. But I just remember like eating a sandwich. You used to have to leave the park and you would like have to eat your food like by the car. I just remember eating like a wet sandwich and looking like some rich family slamming hot dogs with the souvenirs and stuff. I just feel like they're always taking advantage of you. They're always trying to squeeze every bit of money off of you. Jack, I bet you take your family there. I bet you you're dropping, and this is no joke, you're probably dropping $1,500 if you were to take their family there for one day.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I have not taken them.
Yes. You got to wait until they're a little older. Yeah. No, until they appreciate it.
No, he said until the kids deserve it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I say, I do the Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan. I say, earn this.
Earn.
I take them all the way there, and then I say, you got to earn it.
Wait, and you're dying from a gunshot wound after you're shooting your handgun at a tank?
I feel like it just like adds impact to the statement if I pretend like I'm...
And then your kid ages 50 years before your eyes looking at you like Matt Damon did?
Hey, what it takes.
By the haunted mansion. at the singing bears, just by the... Okay.
Mr. O'Brien? That was my dad.
But we did go recently. Julia was like, my mom wants to go for a birthday. And I was like, absolutely not. And she's like, they're paying for everything. I said, when do we go?
Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Did you see any of the new shit?
I went on the new Star Wars. I mean, it's bad. The whole thing's bad. The thing that is, it was fun, but, you know, we're men now. So the idea of waiting for 75 minutes for like a 3-minute ride, and we did a couple of those like back to back, is just like, what are we doing? And her parents are, you know, like 67. They're great shape, good looking older people. And then her sister, you know, I got this beautiful white family and me. And we're just like standing in line for 75 minutes in a row for the Cars ride. I was like, give me a break. The saddest thing, though.
The former Autopia?
Yeah. The Cars ride was kind of cool, but we didn't have any kids with us either. So it's one thing if you're taking kids, you're living through them. And that, I think, is what was heartbreaking, too, because you see all these families, like a lot of working class families and whatever, and you know they're just trying to be good, like good parents, taking their kids to experience this thing. But it's so wrapped in like capitalism and buying things that it's just like, oh, this is our idea of tradition. Is we're just going to get wrapped in this thing where we all keep getting taken advantage of generation after generation.
Right. Yeah.
Go and buy the useless plastic items that you'll never use again.
I saw a cholo yelling at his toddler. You don't want to see a cholo yelling at his toddler at Disneyland.
Over what?
What'd the toddler do? Come on.
The toddler was like talking back to him. The toddler yelling at him. The toddler was yelling at him. He goes, no, you broke it or something. The toddler was literally in the... And the cholo was like, no, you broke it. And like, yeah. And I was like, this poor cholo. Like, what is the cholo doing saving up for this? And he's yelling at his toddler. And the wife said like, go, get away from to the dad. Like, go walk over there. And I saw the dad get a sugar-free monster. How sad is that? He just stood in line. I mean, I was just waiting in this thing, and I watched him get a sugar-free monster. Cholo pounding a sugar-free monster, working his ass off to take his family just to be berated by his toddler. I went to that haunted mansion. It's not scary. I don't even know if it was ever I don't know if it was ever scary, guys.
I was going to say, but I don't think that's contested, really.
Well, yeah, we're from, you know, I'm from an abused home. Long pictures are not scary to me. You know what's scary? My mom getting back with my dad when I was little. That was frightening, fellas. You know what's scary, fellas? The time my dad lost his wallet. That was scary. But let's capture that in a haunted mansion, man. Huh?
And insisted he knew where it went. And spoiler alert, it wasn't. That theory was false.
That was near 35 years ago, and I'm not forgetting that one. Haunted by it, if you will.
Yeah. What is what's something you think is underrated?
Are you guys A-list members?
At AMC?
Yeah,
no.
It's like the fourth time this shit came up this week. No, I'm not. I haven't been to a theater since pre Panda River.
Well, get your sturdy mask. You still haven't been to the movies?
No.
You don't like movies that much.
That would track. I mean, I don't like my love of going to the movie theater died in 2010 around there. I realized like when I started like working. It's
oh,
weird.
Interesting.
And now I'll watch it at home though. Like I'll take movies in at home, but. The theater experience, I think, you know, also happened is I used to get free parking passes to City Walk because I grew up in North Hollywood, like in like this, like 1 mile, like this radius where Universal would send you free parking passes. So in those days, I'd always be like, I'm there. That dialed back. I got crushed by working life and then, yeah, it became more about weed and staying at home.
I love the A-list. I've got a group of people used to have a movie podcast and we developed like a movie club out of it. But if you're an A-list member, it's something where it's $24.99 a month from AMC. There's various AMCs around our area and you can go three times a week. And it's something, $25 is like the cost of two tickets, basically. But it's something in the crew where you just say, you know, I feel like doing that and I'll go. I have a Vespa now. And I can go to the Grove without paying for parking.
Oh, shit.
And,
okay.
And Universal, it's only $5 with this thing. So you'll catch me with my girl at City Walk, you know?
Wait, you're going to have Vespa to City Walk?
I won't Vespa to City Walk.
I was going
to
say.
It feels too crazy. Like, but I do go on the freeway with it and stuff. I haven't Vespa to City Walk yet, sure. I should say. But wow.
Do you guys share the 25? Like, do you share a membership? Or
no,
is that...
we each have a membership.
Okay.
You could reserve tickets together.
Jack.
I don't know.
It's not like you can get like a soda and share the soda.
Right.
We each have to have the ticket. But I go with different people. I have a bunch of people I go with all the time. And you'll just say, hey, let's go tonight at 10 o'clock after the die down of everything. You know, luckily, we don't have kids yet. That's going to end shortly, pretty soon. I can feel her, you know, Lord, she shakes her fist at me. She wants this baby soon. So that's going to be ending soon. But me and my girl will go to City Walk on a Monday night. Miles, do you remember what a fucking, do you remember what a treat like City Walk used to be when you're 19 years old? Like what a date destination.
Yeah. Oh, and now
me and my girl go there on a Tuesday night, 10 o'clock. We don't have to pay for the ticket. We'll buy some concessions. I'm just looking at her beautiful eyes and. You know, everything is
romantic.
Right.
And full disclosure, you're not sponsored by AMC because people are going to think we're running a PSYOP on every couple of days. It's like, you know, it's great. AMC, A-list, man.
Oh, so other people have brought this up and they're underrated or something? People keep talking about it?
Yeah, people have mentioned it
in conjunction with that or like MoviePass. We talked about MoviePass and then someone brought up, Jaquise brought up his love for MoviePass or A-list, but... Yeah, I get it. It's like the movie pass that actually works and you can
trust and it's not going away.
Yeah.
It's not going away. So movie pass, we all knew that was going away.
Yeah.
But this thing's not going anywhere. And like I said, it's great to be in the movies. When we were in the middle of lockdown and stuff, I remember thinking, man, I would do anything to be at a movie right now. And so I love this. It's affordable. I don't drink. I have nothing else but movies and food. I absolutely love it, and I recommend everyone to get it, and then you can go see a movie with me for free, essentially.
Oh, yeah. And you can get that Coca-Cola freestyle machine. You know,
they do. They do have the freestyle. I'm a.
Did you call it the COVID cola freestyle? I think that was a slip.
COVID cola. Hey, you want that COVID cola?
Because yeah. you do start thinking about COVID when you're up there, and there's just like residue from the past 20 people.
I don't know, that guy was just licking it to get the flavor off the little button. It's probably fine.
Yeah. Do you know there was a time though when they first opened up the movies where you couldn't get your own drink? So for like maybe six months, right. So there was like a worker there and you had to tell them on the freestyle what you wanted. give me a break. Yeah, no one.
Let me get a peach ginger ale. What was that? Let me get a peach ginger ale.
Yo, he's fucking want a peach ginger ale.
just regular then, man.
Yeah. You just felt bad, like anything that wasn't like a regular drink. Like you're like,
oh yeah, I get nasty with that thing.
I like to do a Coke Zero and then ruin any calorie saving by loading it up with cherry syrup.
There you go. Man. Now we're talking.
They don't have Diet Cherry Coke?
They do have Diet Cherry Coke.
They have Diet Cherry Coke. That's not what I'm getting, Miles. I'm going to the Coke Zero and then I am adding the cherry syrup and it adds a little kick.
Okay.
Yeah.
The P-Dog of the freestyle machine, you know, sprinkle a little bit of that stuff in there.
For people outside LA who don't know what Universal City Walk is, it's a combination mall theme park, right? Like it feels like.
And when it opened, it had like weird references. Like there was a store that kind of like was a nod to Back to the Future, but then became the Billabong store. There was like. They're like Panasonic just had an absolutely useless storefront to show off like the 3DO gaming system, but you couldn't buy shit in there. I remember I was like, yo, this place is fucking weird.
It is the church of capitalism. Like they have all the like big theme chain restaurants. I went recently for the first time, got some Taco Bell, but it was like a really nice Taco Bell experience.
It's a very nice Taco Bell. You end up paying about, I figured out about maybe a dollar more per item.
Oh, right.
But
they
really.
That was the most expensive Taco Bell. Felt like John Daly out here.
It looks nice, though. I mean, like the real fat, soft taco. It looks like the pictures, but you do pay a premium for it. But, you know, when you're at City Walk, you spare no expense. And if you have an A-list, it's virtually free.
Oh,
everything's
boy.
Virtually free. You're an A-list member.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about Ukraine.
Wait, hold on. Steve's wearing a disguise. Rip it off. It's Nicole Kidman. I knew it. I knew it.
How weird is that? All right, before we go to break, we do have to talk about that, which now it plays before every movie. She is not watching any of those movies with the amount of rapture that she's portraying. She's a good actor, but it is just such a strange.
It's too highbrow.
Right. It's highbrow mixed with like she's watching Creed 2.
They change out the movies that she's watching. And the newest one she's watched, it's Spider-Man Multiverse. And I always, in my head, I'm always picturing going, wow, a black Spider-Man. that's wild.
Oh, this really is an upside-down Spider-Verse.
That's wild. Somebody, a reporter told her, did you see this thing going around where a reporter told her that the Nicole Kidman commercial is like caught on and like people on the internet love it. And she said, is that real? And they're like, yes, it's actually a pretty big thing. And she said, you got to admit, the movies are pretty magical, though. Right?
Oh, I love it.
Man on brand.
So I like that better, actually, that it's not like this forced together thing where they're just like trying to do a highbrow thing and then replace like the, because it feels like one of those Oscar, like, you know, coming back from the commercial of the Oscars where Nicole Kidman's like watching Sound of Music and like these Lawrence like cinematic classics, but they just like replaced it with whatever the latest box office hits are. But I like it better that she is the auteur behind it and she's just like really that basic and just really is like, movies though, am I right?
Right.
Like, that's why I'm into them.
She did in the article, she goes, heartbreak really does feel good in a place like that, right? You know, in the movies. She's like, sometimes you just go to the movies to cry, you know? It's like, yeah.
It's like, oh, you thought that was written for me? Hell no.
I remember when I saw Joe Ditt for the first time. inconsolable, basically. So tragic.
Oh, man. That would be amazing.
She really fucks with every movie.
Because that's it. That's also like kind of the vibes that Tom Cruise gives off, right? Is he just like fucking loves movies.
The movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So like, you know, there was that thing where he went on some late night show and was like, the movies are great, am I right? And everyone was like, this is such cynical bullshit, but I actually believe him. I believe he's just, like, that's what they first bonded over.
Was, oh yeah, right? Do you remember, like, how stoked he was? That, like, he went to the British, like, premiere with the mask to see, what was the Christopher
Tenet.
Nolan movie?
Yeah.
Tenet, yeah. And he's just like, yeah!
We thought that was all like for show, but that's just him at every movie. He's like out here at Despicable Me 3, just like losing his mind.
Oh my God, this baby's a boss. It's fucking.
He's like, wow.
Magic in movie. Front of our eyes, folks. All right, Nicole, it's him and Nicole Kidman, the first date. They're like, say your favorite movie. On three. 1, 2, 3. Batteries not included.
They both say it at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, yeah, those little robots and stuff helping him out. Oh.
She says batteries not included. He says short circuit. And they're like, oh, that was my second.
Almost. 80s Robo Wave.
80s Robo Wave.
Oh, fuck. All right. This is definitely what I needed after just mainlining news for the past 10 hours. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about the war.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And I mean, I don't know how much we need to summarize for people. Putin announced a special military operation. And I think most people assumed he was going to go after, you know, limited regions that he had been talking about. And as of Thursday morning, it appears that it's just he's trying to invade all of Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like real, a lot of force, a lot of bombs being dropped, missiles being fired at places that aren't military targets.
Yeah. And, you know, this thing's been a long, there's so much tension in that region for so long, and it gets to this point. And on some level, a lot of people are like, okay, well, the logic that Putin puts out is that he's pushing back against the expansion of NATO, doesn't like the idea of NATO bases and like nuclear arms or any kind of military installations just dotted along the border of Russia. But when you also hear the way he talks about Ukraine, it's also you also hear that he has a very much like imperialistic idea of, you know, cobbling together or reclaiming some identity of like a Russian empire. Because of the way he talks about, you know, Ukraine doesn't really even have a right to exist, which is not true at all. But that rhetoric sort of shows like the dimensions of sort of what he's sort of going after. And while there's plenty of awful takes on the internet right now, my goodness, I think the thing that people really need to sort of broadly understand is that, you know, this is a situation where the people of Ukraine are now caught in a power struggle between Russia and their, you know, specifically Putin's desire to reform what was lost when the Soviet Union dissolved, but also NATO and the U.S., because they're one and the same, especially when you think of that NATO was created by the U.S. and Western allies specifically to fight communism after World War II, that there's also this idea that, you know, the NATO is trying to stick up for this idea of human rights, and the U.S. is backing that and the sovereignty of borders. And many people point out the contradictions there. Like the Secretary General of the U.N., Guterres, was saying, like, you know, this is completely goes against the U.N. Charter. And, you know, when many people point to the fact that, you know, whether that was NATO bombing Yugoslavia in the late 90s or Bush's invasion of Iraq, that idea has not been really respected globally, not by NATO or the U.S. And this is now just putting regular people directly in the line of fire and is going to kick off a terrible humanitarian crisis. And we're just sort of now watching it sort of trickle in real time in this like really bizarre way where everything's on social media and you're getting, you know, there's loads of like old war clips that are circulating and then ones you actually do see of what's happening on the ground.
Right. Old war clips being claimed to be like footage of what's happening right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's just kind of the surreal nature of a war being fought in 2022 in the age of like the internet and social media. But, you know, right now it sounds like, or most people feel like, that all of this is, at the moment, Putin needs some kind of optics win to be able to cease any kind of further military action. Now, whether or not he's even interested in ceasing that is a completely different question, and I'm not even equipped to begin to speculate on that. But a lot of people have suggested, you know, he needs some guarantee that Ukraine will be someone who is going to be neutral, will definitely not be part of NATO, but also in exchange for that, they have to fully retreat and pull their all of their military infrastructure and manpower out of Ukraine to begin to get any kind of concession like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the last thing that's needed is an military escalation, because the only thing it's the people of Ukraine that are going to pay dearly for increased military incursions in that, like in their country. But it's just a very, you know, my heart goes out to all of these people. Watching people have to say that, oh, I got to fight for my country or whatever, is harrowing. And the flip side of that, too, is that this is happening all over the world. And, you know, we're just in a moment where this part of the world is getting the most attention. But it's difficult.
Yeah. Robert Evans and Jake Hanrahan from Cool Zone Media have two interviews with people on the ground in Ukraine, like journalists who have been kind of following this. And yeah, it's just, you know, first of all, the analysis that was coming from their side, just kind of being a little bit closer to it than me, which it would be hard to not be closer to it than me because I am dumb as shit about this sort of thing. But their theory is that Putin wants to do
shock and awe, blitzkrieg type thing, get the Ukrainians to surrender quickly and then get a peace treaty, install his own leader. It's like regime change and occupation being the end goal, which is what a lot of people were afraid of. It's also interesting to like the shock and awe type thing. Like this feels very much like we're watching another country do what the US did, has done many times, but specifically in Iraq.
Yeah.
You know,
and I've seen people, you know, on the internet talk about the US does this all the time.
Right.
And a lot of people are like, you don't start with this whataboutism. It's not a whataboutism. Like many things are true at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the U.S. has a very well-defined history of, you know, regime change.
I'm just hoping that seeing it happen, like when it's not the U.S. and not tied up in some massive, like jingoistic, like cultural bombardment campaign that we get at home, what like seeing it and being like, oh, yeah, that's also what they said when we launched what were supposed to be precision laser guided missiles.
Humanitarian peacekeeping mission.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And we will indiscriminately destroy a country.
Yeah.
But even leading up to this, it does feel like the U.S. media has been pushing for us to go to war, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the people they have on as pundits are like people who are like directly had a hand in, you know, negotiating with the Soviet Union and how to like change their economy. Are from like think tanks that have had a huge hand in like steering the policy of many other administrations. So you're like, well, hold on. These people like have a like serious bone to pick with the like with Russia, and that's all they see. And I get that, like, you know, they're in a moment where on paper, most people don't like the idea. They're like, well, yeah, why is this sovereign nation's borders being breached like this and being invaded? That's not good. But on the other side of it, too, you know, whether or not the U.S. is fighting with physical bodies in Ukraine is still feeds the military industrial complex in the form of military aid, right? Which means here are some explosives, here are weapon systems. That still kind of keeps that machine going. And yeah, there aren't many people who are saying, like, we need to figure out how to avoid at every cost having like blood being spilt in Ukraine, because again, it's the people there that are going to suffer dearly. It's then that's like that emphasis is not really present, except until the actual war begins. And then they will try and use like images of people being harmed and things to try and increase the saber rattling.
Right. Yeah. There are some wild details just from, you know, people on the ground, like the journalist Jake Hanrahan was interviewing, you know, woke up, I guess it was Thursday morning, Kiev time, and like heard explosions, was like looking online, was like, no, this can't be true. Like opened his window and he could see the highway, and it was just like jam packed with people fleeing the city, and had to take a Uber to a safer location, like with his family, like, but like fleeing to the countryside in an Uber is a pretty wild like image. And then Jake had also talked to, he had been in Ukraine 4 days ago and was, you know, working with militia members, documenting what they were going through and how they were preparing. And he was speaking to somebody who they, you know, they're obviously outnumbered, but he was talking to a militia member who's in a taxi with a gun, like going to fight, like just being in a taxi, like on the way to a battle. But yeah, the other detail that kind of came out more in the Robert Evans conversation, which is in on his daily show, It Could Happen Here, is he like how politically monolithic Ukraine is, which they're like a socialist nation by constitution, because there's like a lot of conversations coming up about like Russia being like they're Nazis, and then people pointing out like actually there are more Nazis on the like pro-Russia kind of right wing side of this battle. But it does seem like this journalist who is Ukrainian was saying that like they are compared to it's hard for somebody in the U.S. to wrap their mind around how like politically monolithic they are as a country. Like their elections become more personality contests because they all basically are like, yeah, no, we're a socialist country. We believe in
like, same policies.
Yeah, the same policies.
Or similar policies, yeah.
So right. That's how you get a comedian to be
right,
president.
That's how you get Ukrainian Jon Stewart to be their president. But
I mean, kind of same here, you know, pretty monolithic in that no one wants to help anybody. So
yeah, there are some things we can all agree on.
Yeah. Don't fucking help nobody. All right. Now you can have this TV star or this spooky mummy. Which do you like? Like, oh, fuck. But yeah, it's also like this is kicking off so many different things, right? Because a lot of people say, where are the people of Russia? And based on what you're seeing on the internet and reports, there are a lot of anti-war protests like popping up in Russia, which is would come at a tremendous cost to those people, because Putin is, since Navalny was arrested and even beyond, like, dissent isn't treated there kindly.
Yeah. For decades. Like, this is what you prepare. This is why you kill people who criticize your, you know, if you have long-term plans to do some shit like this, that is going to be wildly unpopular with people. Like, that's that. Now all that shit starts making sense, that he's a murderous authoritarian dictator, like, really helps him do whatever the fuck he wants, I guess.
But yeah. You have Russian pop stars, Russian movie stars, people speaking out against, not being directly critical, but a lot of the Russian, as you said earlier, Miles, a lot of the Russian people are against this. This is really about one group of men who are insistent on this power move. But I do like the way you framed it, Miles. Putin's not crazy for not wanting NATO and nuclear stuff to be right next to his country. If someone tried to put nuclear warheads and stuff at the borders of our country, we would be upset as well, right?
Yeah, right. And I think people also aren't really looking at the history of, like, NATO and NATO expansion, because, again, from his perspective, he's like, oh yeah, they all ganged up together to kind of be an oppositional force at the end of World War II, to be like, okay, this is part of the Marshall Plan. We have to stop the spread of communism. Part of that is to create this organization. So there, it's like this manifestation of a group of countries that are sort of diametrically opposed to you. So when you already have that, you know, that's what's bubbling under the surface. It's like, okay, maybe we can get this country in and we'll get this country in. They're like, they're trying to pull up, and that's something that they don't like. But again, the part of that too is, like, you know, I think the way we look at a lot of peacekeeping missions that we've gone these excursions before, will have, like, sort of the optics of, like, helping a group of people, but it's always at a larger aim of, like, Western capitalist powers. Like, it's never a purely peacekeeping thing. It's all about expansion of empire, but it's whose empire. And now you're getting to the point where they're butting up against each other. And Ukraine has been, unfortunately, like a country that's just been caught in this tug of war over NATO expansion. And, you know, and now it's unfortunately finding itself to be experiencing all the violent fallout from that.
Yeah. It's important, I think, to keep in mind, like, I don't know if people saw that documentary Winter on Fire. We've talked about it before. Evans actually went and interviewed a bunch of the people who were involved in the, like, auto maiden thing. But this is where in 2013, I think, there was a pro-Russia government backed Ukraine away from the West and economic progress and, like, independence. And, like, the people of the city, like, formed an impromptu, like military fort out of snow and, like, loose panels and scaffolding and shit. They, like, just built a snow fort in the middle of the city and, like, used taxis and personal vehicles to create a cavalry and, like, fought and died until their president left office. So I do think, like, there's, and then having since that time been at the center of this, like, slow boil to war, it's awful that it's come to this, but it feels like this is the sort of thing they've been preparing for a while. So I don't know.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I think most people looking at it are just horrified and like, is there a way for it to end? And it, you know, from, like, what even the president says of like what they're looking at militarily, or like what Russia's doing, they're like, it looks like they're just trying to decapitate the capital to try and, you know, get get a surrender.
Yep.
And see where they go from there. Now, how, you know, what that process ends up looking like, I mean, who knows? And how long this goes for, who knows? And because I think at the end, there's just so many moving parts. It's really just like one of those things. Like, I don't even know what the fuck to say because there's so many things up in the air. The Ukrainian government said that the Russian forces had basically taken over control of the old Chernobyl reactor. And there are a lot of nuclear power plants in the country. Like, what happens with an errant airstrike? And is there going to be nuclear fallout? Is there going to be, you know, there's so many fucking layers to this. But I think the most important thing is that people are in solidarity with the people of Ukraine.
Yeah.
And are able to accept the refugee, inevitable refugees that are going to be looking to settle somewhere. So, yeah.
Yeah. Europe's usually pretty good about that, so we should be good there. I mean, nowhere is really good about it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, yeah, some countries have been pretty quick, like, you know, like Ireland was like, hey, just, there's no questions asked, come through. Other countries, too, have just said, please, just, we get it. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there are always varying degrees of empathy when you look at a global crisis based on what the people involved in it look like.
Yeah. Of course.
And I think that's why it's really important to also keep in mind that, like, while this is happening, there are many other places where the U.S. is currently having a hand in the destruction of people's lives, too. And it's an absurd notion to think that, like, there's any sort of righteous leg to stand on when talking about human rights. But all that to say, that doesn't dissuade from the fact that the people of Ukraine are suffering. And that's just it's awful.
Mm. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Oh,
And we're back. And so is Law and Order.
We came so close to the actual Daily Zeitgeist transition that CNN did today. It's like a viral tweet where they were showing like Kyiv and like all like these air raid sirens going off. And like, it was just like a static shot just to kind of like sort of let people sonically understand like what the vibe is. And then they do a hard cut to a fucking Applebee's commercial. And you're like, oh, dude, work on a better way to sell fucking beer and chicken. But yeah.
Hey, man. But that Applebee's commercial, is it the one that appropriated the Cheers song? Have you? Oh, you didn't watch the Super Bowl. Or maybe I don't even think that was the Super Bowl, actually. But there's an Applebee's commercial that creates a universe in which Applebee's is the place where everybody, where like your community goes to hang out with one another and everybody knows each other. And it's an interesting dystopian vision of a weird world where Applebee's won the corporate fast food wars instead of Taco Bell, which is, as we know from Demolition Man, what's going to inevitably happen.
One time I was in New York like 20 years ago. And I lost my phone or something like that. And some lady found it and they said, meet me at this McDonald's, at some like McDonald's in Brooklyn. And I went to that McDonald's and the whole neighborhood was there. There was like a neighborhood of like old black men playing cards and kids and families. And I was like, this is what it's all about. So to me, when I think of that, I do think there are some place cities where Applebee's is the place. If you recall, on Friday Night Lights, they met at Applebee's all the time for like discreet meetings. So I do think there are some cities that value their Applebee's.
Yeah, that was definitely true of my group of friends in like sophomore year of high school, that we would go to the Applebee's down in Kentucky and magically we would never have enough money. It was truly like a reverse Jesus miracle where it was like everybody would put in a certain amount and then you would count it up at the end and we would not have enough. Right. But
we used to go to Applebee's late night too for that. They had a pretty good happy hour. And I don't remember how bad we tipped them, those poor Applebee workers. Oh, so as high schoolers, it must have been pretty bad.
Yeah. Right. We could still go in the back and use the cigarette machine to buy cigarettes. So was that era. That might still be true in Kentucky Applebee's. I don't know. All right. So Lauren Order is back. I don't know. I think this is like a good case study in why our culture is like littered with reboots and retooling. The story is that like Dick Wolf has been basically since it was canceled in 2010 trying to get it like rebooted or like just started up again, and no one bought it until now. But like the reason that he's able to spend 10 years shopping this same show is that he is the creator of Law and Order, so he has clout and money to burn and can just kind of keep sitting on it, whereas most shows just get a single look basically. And then there's also the fact that, you know, JM in this piece points out that like it seems like NBC and like network TV is trying to just bring the 90s back like fully, or at least NBC's 90s lineup. There's Law and Order, the recent Peacock reboot of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. NBC just announced their reboot in Quantum Leap. ABC is bringing back NBC's L.A. Law.
L.A. Law?
Yeah.
Quantum Leap, I can kind of half wrap my head around.
I'm on board for Quantum Leap. That feels like a premise that was a solid B when they did it, but could be like a A+ like sci-fi, right? if you nail it.
Sure, man. But L.A. Law, man, fuck it. Who was even in fucking L.A. Law?
That's one that like I think I was just a little too young to.
Old Man Hernandez, what do you got?
What's his name? Corbin something.
He's Corbin Burnson.
Yeah, he was on L.A. Law.
Damn you, old man.
Quantum Leap was good. I remember you could watch that with the family. So that's like a good family show.
Right.
And then, of course, I don't know if you remember the final episode where he meets God. Do you guys remember that?
No.
I never watched it to like the point where I was fully on board with all the lore, or at least I knew how it ended. I was like, oh, that show's on.
The last couple seasons started kind of going a little crazy. They started making these movies. I think he was Lee Harvey Oswald at one point. That they did like a 2-hour one of those.
Okay. Yeah.
But then he finally
And he still shoots JFK and shoots Jackie. Takes them both out.
Yeah, right after he shoots Jackie in the head, he goes, oh boy. It was really great. Oh boy.
Was that his catchphrase? Oh
yeah,
boy.
Whenever he would hop in, at the end of an episode, he would hop into the new thing and he would, like, you know, he would be in a crazy situation and he'd go, oh boy. And then it'd be like, oh boy.
Oh boy. Topped her. Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah.
LA Law apparently had a like one of those roles of like launching a ton of careers. Kind of how like you people like Law and Order, you'll see like so many people been in Law and Order. LA Law, it seems like the same thing, because Don Cheadle, Jeffrey Tambor, David Schwimmer, James Avery, shout out Uncle Phil, CCH Pounder, Kevin Spoon, never mind, Carrie Ann Moss, William H. Macy. There's been a lot of
The Spaceman. Oh, what's he been up to?
Space that guy down and asked me again.
Yeah. I mean, and that one feels even more impressive because like I feel like Law and Order gets away with like being named as like launching all these things because they have 40 different guest stars in every episode. So like
right.
Everybody's been in that. I've been in a couple episodes of Law and Order, you know?
And I'd believe that.
Sure.
Like anyone who comes from New York and says, hey, I was actually in an episode of Law and Order, I'm like, that there's a very high probability that you were, even if you were like a dead body. Like,
there
sure.
are a couple, actually, there are a couple episodes that are about me, but they don't know they're about me. So we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
But go ahead.
I've only seen one episode of the SVU. I was at my mechanics. I was getting an oil change. And I just couldn't believe how much they bring up rape. They just bring it up all the time. I know that's what the show's about.
Right.
But Ice-T saying that word like 20 times in an hour, I was just like, I cannot believe how much people love this show.
Yeah.
Right. That almost became a meme, right? Of like Ice-T talking about rape. I feel like that was like, there's almost like a super cut of him saying it. You're like, it's something about him saying it.
And talking about it in the way that TV characters do, where, you know, have to be, where the writer has to like feel like they've done something clever. And yeah. So like, there's like, well, let's put a button on this description of the horrific act that he's just witnessed. But anyways, the other thing, like I've heard big claims made about like culture ended in the 90s and everything since is just recycled. But I like seeing this story makes me think more that it's just that the way that the culture is going, there are so many more and like that now there are 1,000 places to watch something as opposed to, you know, 40 major cable channels, and the only way for them to consolidate all those audiences again is by giving them the stuff they once loved or at least watched because it was the only option. Like it just like that. That's kind of obvious, but I've just heard more and more people being like, "The 90s was the end of culture and the peak of culture, and everything since then." And it's like, no, it was just that. Like that was a time when we had fewer options and it's a numbers game.
Yeah. And also as someone who wasn't even alive in the 90s, they'd be like, nah, culture started in some other time. I don't know. It's a weird thing to say, like unequivocally, but I don't know. I mean, I think my 90s nostalgia, or like the reason I like look back at it or even like regress with like the shit that I watch, is mostly it's like escapism. Cause I'm like, Yeah. Like I literally didn't know how complex shit was back then. And this reminds me of that mindset that I had.
And you know, a lot of people, as much as we like to turn to TV and these things to be compelled and for it to be thought provoked, I think most people do watch it because they want the comfort that comes with just being reassured. And so a reboot stuff like this, it makes complete sense that they're betting that people just want to forget about this fucking pandemic and war and terrible economy and all of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Back when I could like the cops on TV.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, on the other hand, reasons why they might not like it is it's just another cop show. And apparently the first episode, in order to address the fact that, you know, people have found out that cops are often really awful pieces of shit. The cop partners don't get along anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. So
why?
Anthony Anderson is like, I'm glad that there are cell phones with cameras because it encourages police accountability. And his partner, and this is a quote, says, "I speak my mind, probably about things I shouldn't speak my mind about, but it's just how I'm wired."
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. The new one did that too, where that guy who came back, I forget his name. He's the one that all the girls like. He's older. He's bald, kind of buff. He was also in that.
Maloney?
Yeah. He like apologizes for his sins. So part of these new cop shows is they try to like acknowledge that the ways in which cops have been bad in the past, so that you can see that, oh, you know, they really are trying to be rehabilitated, or there really are good cops still. The only good cop is a fat Anthony Anderson. So unless he puts on weight, unless he puts on the old Anthony Anderson weight, I don't need him and his huge head and his thin body.
Did he drop a bunch of weight?
I didn't realize that. He's just this thin body and this huge head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss the old Anthony, huh?
Another way they're trying to be relevant to 2022 is giving us a mystery to solve involving the murder of Bill Cosby. It's not like literally Bill Cosby. It's
Gil Crosby.
I think the name is, let me see here. Oh, Henry King, an incomprehensibly famous singer accused of raping dozens of women. And so he's found murder. He gets out of prison on a technicality.
Okay.
Similar to Cosby. And then is murdered. And Anthony Anderson closes the cold open by saying, and this is, again, a direct quote, "Every victim deserves respect, even the ones that raped 40 women."
Wow.
That's how they end the cold open.
They just both sides that shit? Don't even say that. Like, oh, wow. All right, Law and Order. What happens? They catch him? They catch whoever did it?
It sounds like they're both sides in it. I agree with you, Miles. But also, I think they're kind of encouraging someone to murder Bill Cosby. So you could look at it like that, too.
We'll still look into the crime, but be a lot easier to wrestle with this shit if he was just, you know, I don't know, not here anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happens. So that's the thing. And that's always the thing with Law and Order.
We'll
never spoil an episode of Law and Order. Yeah. It's never clear if they're going to catch the bad guy or who the bad guy is or how many bartenders they're going to have to interview while they're wiping down the bar.
Slide number 20.
Yeah.
Maybe I saw him.
Yeah. I was just about to do John Mulaney's bit on Law and Order, so I'll just stop. But if you haven't seen John Mulaney's bit on the busyness of these people who are being interviewed by homicide detectives and can't stop doing their job, can't stop unloading the truck while they're being interviewed, worth checking out.
I mean, it's a commentary on capitalism. It's like this worker can't even stop to help a fellow slain human being. Because they gotta get these TVs unloaded, pal. I'm sorry, man. I gotta take my break. Came that close to cracking the case.
Yeah. Well, Steve, such a pleasure having you on TDZ.
Great hanging with you, fellas.
Yeah.
Where can people find you and follow you?
You find me at Big Hearn on Twitter, Hernia on Instagram. Please listen to my podcast and watch it on YouTube. Read the Bible with me with Steve Hernandez. Where we talk about comedy, sex, and yes, we do read the Bible every week. So that's really fun if you are a former person that grew up in the church. If not, yeah. I don't see why you would have any interest in the Bible.
That's me.
I think the latest episode was called Sodomy Stuff or just Sodomy exclamation point.
Yeah, a lot of people, we actually are we're covering the Sodom and Gomorrah stuff. So
nice.
A lot of people don't know that story. It's a pretty insane story. And a lot of Christians point to that as an why homosexuality is bad. But it's really just guys being guys. But we get into that in the newest episode. So
yeah,
check that out.
Yeah. Don't be Lot's wife, y'all.
Yeah. Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I love this Diego Lopez. I don't know if you guys have had him on the show yet. He's a really funny comedian out of New York. He has a podcast called A Little Time podcast with Mike Ibushi, but he's so funny. And this one, as a Pauly guy, I really like this one, but he did this last week. Yes, I'm Pauly. Pauly gonna cry during Paddington 3.
That's amazing.
But yeah, check out the this Diego Lopez. He's really funny. He's a great follower.
Yeah, Paddington 3, there's like apparently it's happening. So that's exciting for my kids and Caitlin Durante and film lovers everywhere. But absolutely, Paddington 3 should cast Caitlin Durante in a role. Miles, where can people find you, follow you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and then also 420 Day Fiance, the other pod with Sophia Alexandra, talking 90 Day and many reality TV, just trash heaps that we'd love to feast on. Some tweets I like. First one is from Refurbished Hoochie at The Husky, tweeted, "Classmate, I got 6 kids and 6 dogs. Me, not muted. I know it smells crazy in there."
That's great.
And the other one is from Slick at DLICJ, tweeted, "Before my son got glasses, we were at something where a guy was speaking, and my son asked if it was normal that the guy speaking looked blurry. And I said, yes, that guy is just a blurry guy."
Yeah, I have that resonates with me.
Oh, yeah, because your kid has glasses?
Has glasses. We're having to do... So back in my day, you just patched the damn eye that you could see out of to help strengthen the one that was bad. And now they have, like, eye drops that just keep that eye, like, your good eye blurry for, like, a whole week. So we're starting to deal with that.
And, wait, that's... Oh, but that was a real way you could treat it? Because I remember seeing, like, mad, like, you always see kids with eye patches.
Yeah.
And like, oh, was that kid in a, like, a champagne uncorking accident?
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Like, the way that eye laziness or lazy eyes, and I kind of have one that drifts a little bit every once in a while, but, like, the way it happens is one of your eyes becomes, like, so much better than the other one that your brain is just like, nah, fuck the bad
eye. The other eye's like,
and, like, just
kind
of turns it off. And you stop relying on it, and then that's when it just, like, stops really working. And so,
right,
you know, that's what we're dealing with, is he has bad vision in one eye. So we're trying to get the bad eye strong again.
I don't want to get bogged down in the details. I know we're still recording. But so can he see fine through the eye after you put the drops in?
No. So it's fucked up. So the patch goes over the good eye. That's the thing, is and so the blurriness goes in his good eye so that he doesn't rely on that. So he can't see shit, period. And then the idea is that like, now both of his eyes are blurry. It really sucks.
Oh, my God. Idea is, like, you got to put ankle weights on that weak eye.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. And then you have a 50 inch vertical. Okay. Got
put ankle weights on your weak leg, and eventually it'll pick up. And also, you can't use your good leg. It's fucked up. It's fucked up. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweets I've been enjoying. Petty Religion tweeted, "I'd be a terrible therapist because I'd want you to show me a pic of the guy you keep crying about." And that just has to be the hardest thing for a therapist, not to be like, all right, let me see. Come on. What are we talking about? Or at least not, like, go Instagram stalk the person you're to try and, like, figure out.
It's like, it would always be sad. It's always just some improver or something like that.
Like, this just, asshole? Would that change the advice you give them, you know? And then Soren Bowie tweeted, "Imagine actually killing 2 birds with 1 stone. It would ruin friendships. You'd tell that story so often." You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
So, just want to shout out, we've done some Thundercat stuff on here, but there is a Thundercat song that I like because, as someone who's Black and Japanese, the idea of a Dragon Ball do-rag appeals to me. If only I had the hair to necessitate the wave cap. But this track is called Dragon Ball Do-Rag by Thundercat. And again, if you don't know about Thundercat, really fantastic bass player. Drummer was is also or not his drummer, his brother, also a phenomenal drummer. And back in the day when they were at Fairfax High School, they used to be like the most feared like jazz ensemble in a school ever, where you had basically people who were like professional level musicians in high school. So all much respect to Thundercat, but this is Dragon Ball Durag by Thundercat.
Was there competitive jazz out here?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Fairfax High School had like one of the best jazz programs, hands down. And you'd be like, dude, the Bruner brothers, because he's called Corey Bruner and his brother's Ron Bruner Jr. And it was like, there was no point in competing if they were there, because you're like, they're going to fucking just blow everyone out. And, you know, you kind of like seeing that kind of stuff when you're younger.
Yeah. I thought the All Valley Karate Tournament was far fetched, but
but for jazz, homie,
jazz showdown.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.